I just recited a small couplet to you, that there's the praise of somebody's beauty within this couplet. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. And it's about the event of beauty, these glowing, glittering stars, the beautiful sights in the night, all of the creation that Allah Ta'ala has made, the shining of the moon, and beautiful sights that we see around us when we observe the creatures and the creation and the oceans and the water and the coastlines and the streams and the flowing water and the sun setting in the night, the beautiful sight of it, and all of the tides of the and the waves of the seas and the peaks and the heights of the mountains and tall slender trees and flowing and winding rivers and waterfalls and valleys that Allah Ta'ala has cut across the mountains and the beautiful birds that are flying through the skies and the different species of birds that are sitting on the branches of the trees and beautiful, unique husn, beauty that is spread around, and you see the roses and the flowers in the garden, in the flower garden. In other words, everything around us is linked to the narration of beauty, because when beauty was spread, all of the universe is spread within with beauty, without any restriction, without any boundary. And further, the couplet stated that when this husn was spread and sent out, then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of the creation and the beauty points to the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of the beauty was spread by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. This is the creation of Allah, this universe Allah ta'ala created with His hikmah, with His wisdom. And if Allah ta'ala wills, then He made one makhluk, human being, and they were picked up by the clay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created insan with clay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He used the fire to create the jannat. And this is the makhluk that Allah ta'ala created. Allah ta'ala created the malaika with the noor, the angels. Allah ta'ala created mankind with the clay. And Allah ta'ala created the jannat with the fire. And this was based on the hikmah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon His makhluk, upon His creation, Allah ta'ala, the creator, the control of the universe, He chose three things for His creation with special selection. Allah ta'ala selected on a special day for the makhluk, for creation. Allah ta'ala gave three specialities and three qualifications that Allah ta'ala didn't give to any other being. And what were these three specialities? Allah ta'ala gave us the ability to listen, to hear. Specific quality Allah ta'ala gave, three things it is stated in the hadith. Three qualities. One is paradise. Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made so beautiful. And there are many praises and qualities of Jannah. You can see in the Quran, Allah ta'ala speaks about Jannah. Surah Ar-Rahman is all about Jannah and paradise, mashallah. And Surah Waqiyah. And in every different position, Allah ta'ala mentions and praises the beauty of paradise and about the husn of paradise and the qualities of paradise and the beauty of paradise. Allah says, all you can do at the moment is hear. You can't even see what in reality Jannah is, paradise is. You haven't even reached there, but when you reach there, you will realize so beautiful is paradise. So Allah ta'ala has put a sift, a quality within whatever Allah ta'ala created. Allah ta'ala said that Jannah, paradise, is such a place, such an abode that Allah ta'ala created specially for His human beings, for His creation. And it hears, even if it's a small sound, even if it's a tiny, minute sound, Allah ta'ala said it will even hear that. Allah ta'ala gave a speciality. Allah ta'ala is the one, Allah is Qadir, Mutlaq, Omnipotent, He is the creator. There's nothing surprising. Where is Jannah? Allah ta'ala has created heavens. It's not in the first heaven. It's not in the second heaven. It's not in the third sky. It's not on the fourth sky, layer of sky. It's not on the fifth sky. It's not on the sixth sky. It's not on the seventh sky. It is further up, high up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Jannah. And on every sky, on every layer, and in the hadith it is stated that there's a difference of 500 miles, not the 500 miles of the earth, but the 500 miles of the hereafter. And to surpass the 500 miles of the hereafter, and every heaven, every layer, every step, imagine the creation of Allah. Huh? Subhanallah, the beauty that Allah Ta'ala spread, that the first heaven, it is such that it is white as milk. White as milk. Allah Ta'ala has put the beauty, that the first heaven is as white as milk. And Allah Ta'ala said that it is linked to awqaf. Do you understand? It is greenery within it as well. So it's white as milk with greenery. And the second heaven is made with what? The second level? Allahu Akbar. And what is the speciality? That Allah Ta'ala said that all of the different, you can say, particles that have come from Allah Ta'ala's special attention of it. And the third layer, subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala has created with another material, with copper. So the second is with metal and the third is with copper. And the fourth, Allah Ta'ala has disputed among silver, the fourth layer of heaven. And the fifth layer is gold, but not normal gold. Rather, it is very beautiful. Like one is white gold, one is gold, the yellowy gold. But this is red gold, red. Allah Ta'ala has made this fifth layer from the gold. And then the sixth layer of heaven, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has made with the diamonds. Beautiful jewels. And the seventh layer has got the husn of Yaqut. Allah Ta'ala has given a special creation, is Baytul Mamur. Allah Ta'ala says that 70,000 angels do tawaf around it, and after once they do tawaf around it, the turn does not come back. So these are the heavens Allah Ta'ala has created in the skies, in the heights. Allahu Akbar. Another thing that comes to my mind is, what is the status of the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was the bridegroom of Miraj, who went and surpassed all of these levels and went beyond and went further. What a great Nabi, what a great Prophet, what a maqam he has got. Subhanallah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala created Jannah, paradise, and Allah Ta'ala gave Jannah the speciality, the quality, the ability to listen. Even a small sound it can hear, but a special sound it hears. And what is that special sound it can hear, paradise? In the hadith it is stated that when a person, a servant of Allah, a human being on the earth, or be it a man or a woman, in the midst of the night, or in the light of the day, or very hidden and concealed with such silence that in the heart, when it speaks, then Jannah can hear it. But what does it listen to the words? What is the words that it hears? That when a person, the servant of Allah, man or woman, says, "Oh Allah, give me Jannah, give me paradise." When the servant of Allah seeks and desires paradise from Allah, then Jannah straight away hears these words. And what does Jannah do after that? Then it requests, it makes a request in front of Allah. Allah, you are Qadir, you are Mutlaq, you are all powerful. Then Allah Ta'ala says that Jannah, it presents and praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifies Allah. It says, "Allah, your servant has asked for me. You can give everything. Allah Ta'ala, give Jannah to this person so he can come to me and live within me." Ah, what a door, subhanallah, what a door. Allah Ta'ala says, "Jannah, paradise, you are asking, okay, go, I will accept your request. How can I reject your request? Go, I give you paradise, go, I give you paradise." So this is Allah Ta'ala's karam upon His creation. Look at the samad, look at the hikmah, look at the wisdom of Allah, look at the depth, the understanding. Allah Ta'ala has given Jannah the quality to hear, not just common listening, common hearing. Allah Ta'ala has given Jannah paradise such a door of hearing, such a mode of hearing, such a method of hearing, that Jannah can pick up every small minute sound of a person that is requesting Jannah, even in the heart. That if we in the day, night, at any time, any moment, we say in our heart, "Allah, take me to Jannah," then we will attain the request and the dua of Jannah to Allah, that Allah allow this person to come with me. Look how this is, subhanallah. So, dua. Shaitan won't let us ask. Dua is a little thing, you could say, short in statement, but shaitan will say, "You're a sinner, you'll never get paradise, forget it." But Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us such a nice way that her insan, every individual, doesn't matter how he is, if he asks or she asks for paradise, then Jannah will definitely ask and plead on that person's behalf, because Jannah can hear. When a person says, "Allah, I want Jannah," Jannah can hear this, and Jannah goes to Allah on his behalf and requests that, "Allah, please give this person Jannah." And the second hearing that Allah Ta'ala gave to creation was to Jahannam. So the first piece of creation that Allah Ta'ala gave ability to hear was Jannah, paradise. And in the same way, Jahannam was given the quality. So you have the within us the earth, the first layer, the second layer, then the third layer, the fourth layer, the fifth layer, the sixth layer, and then the seventh layer within the core of the earth. below the earth. Not in the earth, sorry. Within the seven layers of Allah Ta'ala's creation. So Jannah, the people are sent into paradise. And Jahannam is within the layers. And Jannah has been given the hearing. And Jahannam, hellfire, which is below and below and below and within. And within also has the capacity to hear. And Jahannam, hellfire, also hears. And it grabs hold of a statement. That when a person, a woman or a man, wherever they are, however they are, they say, Allah, please save me from hellfire. Suddenly Jahannam, hellfire, hears this also. And straight away when hellfire hears this request, it requests on behalf of that woman or man that Allah, this person is seeking refuge from me, and I don't want this person either to come into me, and that person himself doesn't or herself doesn't want to go into hellfire. So Allah, please accept this person's prayer and save him and purify him or her from hellfire. So here's the second opening of the doors of hearing that Allah Ta'ala has given to Jannah. A small dua. Allahumma nas'aluka jannata wa na'udhubika minan nar. Small dua. Small prayer. But Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us such a beautiful dua that after asking for dua, what do we get? We are saved from Jahannam, from the hellfire. And the third thing, that Allah Ta'ala has chosen His creation and opened the door of hearing for that piece of creation or form of creation. And that is the angels that were made from Noor. So Jannah, Allah Ta'ala created beautiful. Jahannam, which is also there to punish. And the third form of creation that has been given the hearing, within the angels they have a quality that they do not have the ability to commit a sin. Secondly, they are made out of Noor, yes, out of light. And the third quality of the angels is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever order He gave to them, they are existing and steadfast on that hukam. Whatever duty has been given to them, they fulfill and carry out that duty. And they don't come aside from that duty. That's the sift and the quality of the angels. For example, you'll have heard in many hadith that there are certain angels, Allah Ta'ala has given them a certain job, that go onto the earth and seek. Go onto the earth and seek. Allah has given them duty. The whole jama'ah of the angels, Allah has given one group of angels the duty, that go onto the earth and seek and look out, that where are the people sitting, gathered, assembled, and doing my dhikr and my remembrance. And there's a special select group of angels who were created for this purpose. That's your job, that's it. So that group of angels, they wander around left and right, morning till night. That where's the jamaat? Where are the group of people sitting down to do dhikr of Allah? Where are they assembled and joined for this? And when they see in a certain masjid, what's the name of this masjid? Subhanallah, when we start going to the masjid, we figure, Masjid al-Falah. That there's a jama'ah, a group of people sitting in Masjid al-Falah, and they're remembering Allah. And the angels, they're wandering around the world, universe looking. Then they call out to each other, come, 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 don't wander around anymore. We found that group. And this is hadith, and that's the duty of these angels, special select angels. The whole jama'ah, congregation of angels comes together, they start descending. They descend so much that they come to the lowest of the heavens, and until the heights, they climb upon each other. They climb upon each other and spread out their wings. And they're so happy on observing this group, the gathering of dhikr. Imagine how the angels are happy. They're so happy that Allah has given us a duty. Allah gave us a duty. And they will then go back and say, Allah, you gave us a duty. We fulfilled that duty. Allah, we've succeeded. We found that group of people on the earth doing your dhikr. And then Allah Ta'ala is also happy. And Allah Ta'ala says that the angels love so much those people sitting down doing the dhikr that they then start to do dua for Allah. Allah, forgive these people. And so much they pray, Allah, this jama'ah of people, these human beings are so beautiful, they're doing your dhikr, that they've also made us succeed. So this is duty of that group of angels, and there are other groups of angels with other duties, and there's one angel. Yes, as I said to you, that there are forms of creation that have the power to hear. So the third form of creation that has the power to hear is one angel. Allah Ta'ala created one angel, mashallah, very powerful, tall, broad, beautiful angel, and immersed in happiness. And it's got a great duty. It is beautiful, this angel. He is beautiful and handsome and tall and broad and handsome and powerful and strong, emanating a beautiful fragrance from this angel. And the duty of this angel is what? It's very unique duty. What's the duty of this angel that can listen and can hear? It is duty. Its duty is at the Rawda Mubarak, at the blessed holy grave of the holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinatul Manawwara. And Allah Ta'ala said, your duty, O angel, is here to be present at the Rawda Mubarak, at the blessed Rawda of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed tomb. And your duty, angel, is that number one, from the beginning of time till the end of time, whichever human being has been born, all of them, he knows their name. He knows everyone's name. Every human being who was born and came to this earth, he knows his name. That this individual, son of his father, son of his grandfather, Allah Ta'ala has given that angel a computer. That he has the list of all the human beings that will ever come to the face of this earth. And he knows the ancestry back to their forefathers. And it can hear this angel from the west to the east, north to the south. This angel can hear all of the sounds of the human beings, and it's standing in front of the Rawda Mubarak. So whenever any man or woman, believing man or woman, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great, wherever they are in the world, at any time when they, he or she, send durood, salat and salam on the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then straight away that angel hears that salat wa salam and durood, and straight away that angel gathers that salat wa salam and the durood and presents it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, O Prophet of Allah, this durood has been sent to you, please accept it. So, as I said previously, Jannah will present its safarish, its request to Allah for forgiveness. Jahannam will present its desire that Allah forgive this person and save him from me. And third is the angel. Allahu Akbar. So can you imagine who is the personality of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He is the merciful, the most merciful, who loved his ummah and the believers. And when he will hear that this person, son of this person, son of this person, has sent durood on me, will Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not request dua for us and our forgiveness? The ulama ikram, the scholars have said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time will not only ask Allah for forgiveness, most definitely he will do that. In the hadith it stated that on the day of judgment, the closest to me will be that person who in abundance sent durood and salam on me, salat wa salam in the world. So my brothers, three things, three doors of hearing, listening, Allah Ta'ala has opened up for us that can take us to paradise and take us out of the hellfire and make us near and give us the qurb of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can get the intercession from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And despite having these three things, if we, insan, human being, are lost and we do not enter into paradise and we fall into the hellfire and we are far from the nearness of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then how misfortunate are we, how unfortunate are we that we do not attain the success. So the only way we will not attain these three successes is when the padlocks are locked on our nafs, on our desires. When we obey our desires, when we break the orders of Allah, when we go towards haram and we commit haram actions and we accept unlawful deeds, when a person starts to do haram, goes towards haram, then he doesn't ask for any dalil. Dalil and proof is nothing for that person. Then all that is left is his khwaishat, his request. He forgets the call of his sheikh. He forgets the guidance of his teacher. The love of Rasulullah ﷺ comes out of his heart. And even the fear of Allah is not in his heart. And the three things that overwhelm, the thing that overwhelms these three things, the love of Allah, the fear of Allah, the love of Rasulullah ﷺ, and the love of the deen, is that his nafs overwhelms all these things, his desires. And he starts to worship his desires, his nafs. And the nafs suppresses him and strangles him and says, oh, do this sin. And then when he opens the eyes and sees the loss, then he realizes what a big loss he's fallen into. So nafs, desires, is for making us happy and pleased with the dunya. That's what nafs is for. Nafs makes us happy with the dunya. Nafs makes us content with the dunya. And to make us happy and content, we commit the sins. And when the eyes open, in reality, those same people in the world who told us, encouraged us to do sin, and the name of success, they are not with us anymore. They have no assistance with us. Allah Ta'ala, oh my brothers, has made it so easy for us. So easy for us. And despite this, we get lost with our nafs, our desires. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us. So let's do three things in our life. We'll benefit from these three things in our life. Alhamdulillah, this hadith has reached us, that we should always request Jannah, paradise from Allah. We should always seek refuge from hellfire. And we should always continuously in abundance and durood on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then alhamdulillah, these three doors will open, which will take us to paradise and to Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And there's another point, a beautiful point here, that the ulama, ikram, the scholars have written, that when the individual requests paradise and Allah Ta'ala gives him a place and abode in Jannah, in paradise, then there's a point here that we, when we request Jannah from Allah, then at that time, insan, he thinks, I am a sinner, I'm a very bad person, I've committed too many sins. Or another person thinks, I've committed so many sins in this world, will I go to Jannah just by asking Allah for Jannah? behind this, there's a hikmah, wisdom, that when Allah Ta'ala makes us do actions and we, Allah Ta'ala makes us ask from our tongue for Jannah from Allah, then Allah Ta'ala will also give us the deeds and take us towards the deeds that will take us to paradise. Remember this, Allah Ta'ala says that, if I give you the ability from your tongue, if I give you the ability, Allah says, to ask for paradise, then most definitely I will give you the ability to practice those deeds that will give you paradise. And many of our people today who are so-called progressive and modernist, they criticize, you've done so many sins, you're asking for Jannah and you think you're going to go into paradise? How can this be? Impossible. They start criticizing the people who do tawbah, who repent. You're doing sins all day long, all night long, and you're saying, Allah, please give me refuge from hellfire. Oh, you think you're forgiven and you're going to go away from hellfire? You're going to fall into hellfire? No, this is not the case. Allah Ta'ala says that when you ask for Jannah, I will open the doors and the means and the actions for you, and I will take you to those actions that will give you paradise. And then Allah Ta'ala says, I will take you away from the sins that will then take you away from hellfire. And then you automatically will go towards the amal and the deeds that will give you paradise, and you'll start doing the actions of paradise. So this doesn't mean that you just close your eyes and automatically you go to paradise. No. So this is a tariqah, this is a method to ask for paradise and to ask for good deeds that say, Allah, please take me to paradise. Because in reality, what are you asking for? You're asking Allah for hidayah, for guidance. Allah, open the doors of guidance for me. Allah, make me a person to pray salah. Allah, save me from the sins. Make me run away from the sins. Allah, allow me to obey your ahkams, your orders. This is the reality, that when you raise your hands or whichever way you do dua and you say, Allah, give me paradise, then in reality you're asking Allah to open all the doors and the means for you to take you to paradise. Allah Ta'ala makes you so close to the hidayah, the guidance, that you suddenly become close to paradise and you start doing actions that will give you paradise. So do dua to Allah. These three things I've told you, alhamdulillah, these are high ways, great ways of reaching, attaining hidayah. Make your dua continuous. After every dua, ask Allah for Jannah, paradise. Ask refuge and save Allah. Allah save us from hellfire, and continue to send durood on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Recite durood sharif.